Good morning. Today is Monday, February the 6th. Joining us this morning, happy Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills.
Go Pats.
Yeah, one coast to the other. That, you know, I didn't see that transfer, but, you know, all of a sudden you're wearing all this red and black instead of baby blue and yellow.
Yeah. You know, I'm really not a big Pats fan, but I'll tell you, who cannot be a Pats fan today?
Yeah, that was just an extraordinary event.
Yeah.
That was really, really cool. Oh, boy. Our quote this morning comes from Pablo Picasso. Art is a lie that reveals truth. How's that for something to think
about?
I'll
have to think about that for a while.
Yeah. Well, don't hurt yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we don't go too far here.
That might break my brain after watching that game last night.
So what's the biggest challenge on your plate this morning?
Just got a lot of operational stuff to make sure that we're on top of.
Systems?
Systems are a problem. But more importantly, projects that we're working on as a department that are meaningful, that we want to get off the launch pad. And those take time, effort, and energy, and sometimes you run out of personnel to do those kind of things.
Is it sworn officer-type personnel, or is this more, I don't want to sound like I'm bagging on anybody, but more brain trust resources?
You're asking the police about brain trust? Come
yeah,
on.
Well,
now.
You know, I figure at least you know what door you might be able to open to find some. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's actually for the first time in recent memory, EPD is fully staffed except for one position. And
on the street and in the office?
Yeah. Yep. Well, we're down a couple dispatchers, but we just hired one, and then we're down one police officer position. But that is an incredible feat because we have really hired a lot of people at a time when it's difficult to hire people.
That's what I was going to ask with all of the whipping up that's been going on anti-police, or at least using you guys as targets.
Right.
How?
We've worked really hard, and I made a decision last year in consultation with both captains that, you know, we want to make sure that we get good quality local people if we can. So we do think that local is an important factor, because it's okay to hire people, and then when you get them up here 2 years later, they're gone for better pay, go back home. Wives don't want to come up. I mean, there's a lot. We have the same issues the hospital does. And so what we've found is that if we
put, people aren't shooting at the doctors.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, yeah. So what we decided is that we would make an effort to hire local people, and in order to do that, I have to put them through the academy.
So how do you define local?
People have been here for a while.
Okay. There's a certain supervisor who's a local, born here, who defines local as 6 months.
Well, I think 6 months is a bit shallow for me, but because you have to spend at least two winters here before you figure out what this place is about.
So you're not thinking four or five generations necessarily?
No. I mean, that would be fine. If a person's four or five generations, because that hopefully locks them in a little bit longer. But at the same time, local guys always also can get that itch to say, you know, could I do something else somewhere else?
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. So, Andy, you said local, you said people, I'll say kids.
Yeah.
Because I think we're looking in the same direction down that chronological timeline there. So you put them through the academy.
Right.
Which doesn't sound that extraordinary. A lot of businesses are doing that. You know, if you want an Ace Cracker Jack computer guy, okay, maybe you pay for them to go to grad school,
right,
or something along those lines. Is this a significant departure from others, or is this more of a recognition of their desires to be local, stay local, and help local?
I think it's more of a recognition that policing's in trouble in terms of finding enough people to do policing who want to do this job. And how they traditionally have done it up here is to hire people after they put themselves through the academy. So you're saving 6 months of salary, you're saving the cost of the academy, the beans and bullets that you know, you'd have to put somebody through the academy. But we are recognizing, I think most of us up here, it's not just me, the sheriff, Tom Chapman over at Arcata, we've all recognized it's pretty difficult to retrain and retain. And so what we're doing is just searching for other solutions. So of the four I hired, just sharp, sharp guys, Nick Dalby, John Dalby's boy, talking about getting ingrained in the fabric of the community. Brian Wilson's been up here for 6 years, came up here to play football for Humboldt State. A really sharp kid. Joe Couch, another local kid who played football locally here. And then Nick Kwan came from somewhere else, but a very bright, capable guy. So three of the four were local kids. And that's what I really want to see, because they really take an interest in the community. In fact, I heard from Betty Chin that one of our kids going through the academy gives us Saturdays to work for her free of charge, just to help the kids out at the Betty Chin's Kwan Chin Center. That's the kind of people I want.
So as you're looking at the salary component and the recruits going through school.
Right.
Yeah, and they'll always be kids.
Yeah, they're well, to you and I, Brian,
yeah,
everybody's
exactly.
A kid.
They're locked and loaded, okay.
Yeah, we were talking about this the other day. It's like, it's pretty sad when 40-year-olds start calling you sir.
Yeah, and you start calling them kid.
Yeah. Right, Winston?
in that kind of a scenario, as you're looking for the locals and back and forth, you're paying their salary, do they come into the shop? Do they shadow? Do they kind of hang out and just kind of jump in the real environment a little bit? Do they have that time, or do you even want them inside the building?
Oh, no, we do. In fact, this last group that we hired, the four, and then we hired another guy just recently, we're doing a couple things differently to give them the flavor and the taste of policing locally here. So I brought them in 3 weeks early. And that during that three-week period of time, we meticulously went through the history of Eureka and the history of our police department, the good and the bad. We talked about...
Who's your historian?
Me. That's pretty sad.
Oh, crap.
No, there's a bunch of us that put this together. In fact, we took a lot of what Merle wrote.
Yeah, I was thinking Merle or Lenny or some of the... Yeah,
we took a lot of what they wrote and then obviously plagiarized the crap out of it.
And updated it a little bit, and so forth.
So we talked about the history of Eureka and the good and the bad. You know, all the way from the Sawmill Riots in the 30s to... the travesty of the Chinese and the Indians back in the 1800s to recent policing in the last 10 years, 15 years. We talked about some of the heroes of EPD over the years. And so we take a look at that and we talk with them. We talk about our policies and why things are in place. We talk about de-escalation. Then we have them spend some time with community nonprofits and work with those community nonprofits to understand that we are part of this community. And then I had Liz Smith from the NAACP come in and sit down with them for a half a day and talk about being black and what it's like to fear the police. And I think it was a robust, great program where people could take a look at what policing ought to be and now go get trained at the academy and then try to merge the two together. I was reading a graduate paper from Naval Postgraduate School over the weekend, and it was about policing and the training that the police go through and how we train to use lethal force rather than training to not use lethal force. And so we're wrestling with that, and that's one of those big projects that we talked about at the beginning of the show.
I would think it's more of a challenge today because that second delay today really could mean significant difference.
It does mean outcome. A big difference, and so the question becomes, how do you train to do that? And what the research is clear about is that how you train is how you perform. And so if you just train to use lethal force, so here's the option, you can use lethal force.
You got your one tool in your toolbox.
You got your one tool, yeah. If everything looks like a nail, well, if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Right.
And, of course, that's how I fix stuff at my house. TV's broken.
Yeah. Computers.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So as you're looking at this new approach, how are you going to monitor that this is more effective and maybe get some of your more recent hires, run them through some of the historical and the soft training, so to speak?
Well, it's not even soft training. You know, what we've done is we've put together a cadre of instructors, both from the sheriff's office and as well as EPD, to discuss this and to put the curriculum together. And so now it's finishing off the curriculum and actually getting the time, which is a big issue, to train them. But it's consistent training. It's not a one-time deal.
So you can do it each week for a couple hours.
That's
and
right.
Just plunk along.
Even if it's once a month for an hour, it just ingrains that behavior in their thinking. And that's why we have to figure that out.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
What do we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Andy Mills from the Eureka Police Department. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Andy, when you were going through or reviewing some of the historical stuff, now you got me going.
Yeah.
I know you're big. The rest of the show's going to be fun. Okay. What struck you as the really moments of Eureka history, whether it was police department history or community history?
Well, I'm not a full-on historian, so I'd have to be a little bit
careful
here.
No, but you got a new set of eyes and a sense of...
Yeah, well, my sense is we view the past, and I view this as my own past too, so it's not just here, is probably better than it actually was in terms of we forget the pain and remember the good stuff. And, you know, I've heard from 1,000 people since I've been here, oh, man, when I was a kid, I could take my bike, fly it down to the bay with a fishing pole and go fishing. There were no problems. But then I hear at the same time, talk to some of the older folks that lived here. Oh, man, we had problems downtown. We had prostitution all over the place. We had drunks and bums and sidewalks and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Things the kids didn't pay attention to.
Yeah, because you're flying your bike to go fishing. And now, agreed, we have some very different problems that are very substantial. I'm not demeaning the level of our problems, currently.
Second Street was Second Street.
Second Street was Second Street.
Yeah.
And then, you know, one of the things I want to communicate to my new officers is that throughout history there have been travesties. And look at those travesties. And let's not repeat those. We're guardians of the Constitution. And we will not make those same errors, and as long as I'm in charge here. And so I want my officers to understand and grasp the importance of constitutional guarantees and make sure that we police from a just and fair perspective. So when you take a look at all those things, and certainly it goes up and down, that becomes meaningful in terms of how do we police today. And that's what I want them to understand. But I also want us to be able to get back to that point where any kid can jump on his bike without any fear whatsoever of going down to Palco Marsh and sticking his pole in the water and catching a crawdad.
Yeah, trying to fish off the wharfs is a little tough these days.
Well, yeah. And so, not saying we don't have a long way to go, that's for sure.
Yeah, build back a couple of those wharfs initially would help things out a little bit.
Yeah.
What is, when you're putting this together, what do you determine as real and accurate? In the 20s, real and accurate was defined one way. 40s, entirely different. 60s different, 80s different. You know, it's always humorous for me when people talk about how pristine Humboldt Bay is. Obviously, they've not done any research whatsoever. You know, you mention a whaling port, and they just kind of look at you like, "What are you talking about?" So, when you're determining what's real for these folks to base information off of, what do you look for as real?
Well, I obviously my perspective is very focused on what's real for policing. I mean, we could go into a lot.
Well, the police station used to be in the middle of it all.
Yeah.
So that would be a different perspective than where you are now.
Well, I don't think we're as robust as maybe, you know, in your mind we're thinking it is. I mean, this is about an hour discussion. And
that's about 3 minutes a decade, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So this isn't a master's thesis on the history of Humboldt, but it is, I think, important to get a sense of what this police department is, has been, and should be. And so we also talk about some of the heroes of our department, Butch Manos. I mean, he was loved by this department. There's an award named after him. And so it's things like that that I want them to have a sense of the tradition and the honor that people brought to this job, and also the dishonor that some have brought. And we talk about that, and we want to make sure that kind of stuff never gets repeated. So it's the plus and the negatives, and so we want to make sure that they have a good sense of policing here in Eureka.
Will you spend much time talking about the areas outside of the business, I guess the business area? Let's say 9th Street to the Bay, and what would be another cross street for Broadway? I guess maybe California to Broadway?
What do you mean in terms of what?
Neighborhoods. Okay, this neighborhood historically has done da-da-da-da-da-da. Or when there was a couple of rough years, they used this gully or this canyon or this draw as an area, and it kind of, and bring in some of those things that may not have been necessarily lead story, may not have been in the history books, but it's the reality of what the chase is all about.
Yeah, no, we don't. We really haven't gotten into the topographical kind of examination of the city.
Cooper's Gulch.
I think that most of them are aware of that, and they get that in their FTO training, their field training, where the FTOs will pull into an area and say, hey, if you get in a foot pursuit at this location, it's going to go into this gully. This is where they go. And here's the safety issues of chasing somebody in the gully by yourself or setting up a perimeter, and here's the historical stuff. And we get a lot of abandoned houses over here, and as a result, you get people hanging out and shooting up dope. So if you're going to go into one of these abandoned houses, make sure you have cover. But let's go in there because the neighbors have a right not to live next to this.
So that's more of a cultural rather than a historical.
Yeah, it's an operational kind of deal.
Okay. KINS, News and Information Times 841. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website.
Theshoppingshow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next shopping show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46, back to Talk Shop with Andy Mills. Andy, as you're looking to develop a stable police force, are you going to continue down the same path of looking for locals or aggressively seeking instead of just waiting for them to come through and maybe somebody's a buddy of somebody's and they want to be a cop, you know, and that kind of stuff?
Well, I think over time, the best opportunity you have to recruit people is when people currently on the department reach out to people that they know that would probably be a good fit. So we certainly still want to take a look from that perspective, but also it takes a recruiting effort. And I think with our as aggressive as we are as a department in terms of working with the community and doing MLK marches and helping on the, you know, other things, like just like the Make-A-Wish Foundation thing we did over the weekend where we, you know, helped raise $40,000 for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And that was all police generated. People see that, want to become part of great organizations. And I think that's what sets you apart from your peers.
So do you have time now that you didn't have before when you were wrestling the alligators?
No, we're still wrestling.
To step back and to start to do this? Or is it your senior staff able to do some of the normal cop stuff?
Yeah.
So you can kind of do some of this other and change the culture?
Well, when we promoted Brian and Steve, Steve Watson and Brian Stevens, we promoted them from sergeant, skipping the rank of lieutenant, right to captain. That's a big jump because you miss a lot of things in that rank that most agencies have the opportunity to spend 4 or 5 years doing before you're ready to make captain. So we've had them on an accelerated learning curve, and they have performed well. I mean, they have really risen to meet the challenge. Risen, something like that.
Yeah, apparently they're not following you, and that's not a bad thing.
and so they are now taking over a lot of things that I would not have the time or the creativity to do or innovation to do. Like, for instance, Steve is working on a project called Project Safe. We're getting all the safe dealers in town and all the alarm companies in town, have them come to the mall so that people can say, I can make my guns more secure, because we have to take some of these illegal guns off the street. And when people steal guns from your home, they're going to crooks. They're not going to good people. And then Brian's working on other things that are really important to the agency, such as internal stuff that, you know, is behind the scenes and is unseen, as well as working
with... But those are the time takers.
Those are the time sappers. That you're exactly right. Both captains this weekend worked all 7 days. 5 days, and then both days in the weekend we're doing stuff. That's what I expect of them. That's what I do, and they step up to meet the challenge. And, and Greg Sparks, aren't you going to worry about burning them out? I said, they're in their early 40s. They can handle this.
They're kids.
But no, I really appreciate how hard they work. And same thing with Michelle Reyna Sanchez, who's over all the civilian staff and communications. Again, tireless worker. And so one thing that Eurekans can be proud of is the work ethic of my top command staff. They really get it done. And I'm just very proud of what they do.
So did you hire for that, or you just get stupid lucky?
Well, it's me, okay? What do you think?
Try to give you a little bit of an opportunity.
No, you know what? We were pretty forceful in how we promoted. We put them through the rigors of multiple panels. In fact, you were on those panels, as well as other things. And so we were able to take a good hard look at these folks to make sure that they were going to accomplish what we needed them to accomplish. Just promoted 3 sergeants as well this last Friday to backfill other positions.
And they are?
Oh, you want who they are?
Yeah, you got about 10 seconds.
Lenny LaFrance, Ed Wilson, and Terry Lyles. 3 great guys with a lot of tenure here, and they'll do a fantastic job for this city.
Keep doing it, man.
All right, man.
See you in a bit. See everybody else tomorrow.